Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In honor of International Podcasting Day, we've invited some South Dakota podcasters to join us for a look at different ways they leverage audio and embrace the podcasting revolution. Well, Augustana University takes a unique approach to podcasting with the development of programs from Studio 47. And you hear one of those podcasts, Poetry from Studio 47, every Friday on In the Moment. So we're joined now in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios today by Peter Folliard. He's director of Augustana Orchestra's Patrick Hicks, who's Augustana writer-in-residence, and Reverend Ann Rosendale, who is Augustana campus pastor. Welcome, Augie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Peter, let's start with you, because Studio 47 is a place. Tell us a little bit about how it kind of came to be and how Augie sort of said, and you have sort of said, hey, let's podcast.
So there is a history with this space. My understanding is there's a gentleman named Rob Joyce who was working on electronic music in the late 70s, early 80s. And he built what, when I came to Augustana in 2017, I thought, I was like, was this a recording studio? It's set up with a display room, a control room, acoustic treatment all over the wall. So I walked in there and I saw this empty room where students were sleeping sometimes in between classes. And I went, maybe we could do something with this. And at the same time, there were a number of disparate parties on campus that were all talking about, we'd like to podcast. And I was brand new, trying to make myself useful to Augie. And I said, are you all talking to each other? And we got them connected. And then there was this Oliver Innovation Fund that we applied for. We were the first applicants, and we got about $25,000 to invest in audio equipment and revitalize this space. So it came to life, and then we had a trial year of getting projects going, and that's where we ended up with Poetry from Studio 47, and then Calling All Years Good, a podcast about vocation, and now a string quartet recording project. So it's been exciting bringing this whole thing to life.
Tell me a little bit about how you're incorporating it, in the sense that students are invited into this idea of audio storytelling and podcasting and learning audio production, because there's a huge future in this. Well, there's a huge present in this, but a future for some of these students.
Yeah, I really believe in the use of recorded audio to get our ideas out further than here. I mean, here you're getting it out. We're in all of South Dakota and beyond. And our students and our faculty and our staff have all of these creative ideas to get them out there. And we want a mechanism to share that, and podcasting is the way to do that. So we've got our first podcasting class that's going to take place this January, which we're really excited about. So students will come together and learn the basics of recording and editing and digital distribution. And we'll start there and we'll see where it goes. But these couple projects that we've done have been really great learning opportunities for us to say, okay, we hit a couple bumps in the road. Now, how can we help our students overcome those and get their creative ideas out in the world?
Patrick Hicks, Poetry from Studio 47 is something that we play every Friday on SDPB Radio, and then it's on our website. It has its own website, ps47.org. I'm wearing my Poetry from Studio 47 t-shirt that the radio listeners can't see. But
it's very stylish.
Thank you very much. Tell me a little bit about how this evolved in your mind, because it's really, for people who haven't heard it, and I think most of our listeners have, It's poetry. It's also making this poetry accessible and interesting, and telling the stories. It's celebrating the poets themselves.
Yeah,
and it's a lot more. Tell me how it kind of evolved for you.
Yeah, and I want to thank the listeners that are out there. I'm having a blast doing it with Pete. You know, this was an idea that came to me several years ago, but we didn't have the recording studio on campus. There wasn't someone that could produce on campus, which is what Pete does. I have no knowledge of that. And I also didn't have an outlet to get it out there. And then there was this wonderful convergence where Pete showed up and he had his vast experience that he brought to Augustana. And then Studio 47 was revitalized and re-energized. And then our friendship, and you've been very kind to give it a place on this show. So it was just this wonderful convergence. And I remember thinking, boy, if I don't hop on this now, you know, there's a sign here. You're just like, go for it. And we've been at it for almost a year. We've got shows recorded up through the end of this year.
Mm. And what has the response been from poets?
It's been really wonderful. Yeah. Every poet, every single poet I've approached about using their work on air, every single one of them has not only said yes, but enthusiastically so. Right. And I find great joy in lifting up the work of my friends and colleagues. It's really nice for me to give back and to send poetry out over the airways of South Dakota and beyond.
And one of the things I love about this is that it's a, you know, it's a national podcast. Anybody really could pick it up. So if you're listening now, contact Patrick Hicks about getting it in other stations across the country. But as part of that, as hearing the voices of Ted Kooser or Billy Collins, we also had Bruce Roseland this week, and we've had Jim Reese and Christine Stewart and all these South Dakota people, Augustana students, the Poetry Out Loud students. I mean, you have been very intentional.
High school students
from South Dakota.
Yeah.
You've been very intentional about sort of finding the best from all these different places.
I have. I think originally of South Dakota and the art that we have here, and then I think outward. And we have a number of international poets that will be on soon, too.
Yeah. Pastor Ann. Can I call you Pastor Ann?
Sure.
Reverend Rosendahl.
Pastor Ann is fine.
And calling all years good, this is a podcast about vocation. Mm. Tell us a little bit of where this idea came from, and then we're going to pull some excerpts so you can hear a little bit about Ann's Got Cooking in this podcast.
Yeah. So, gosh, it was probably close to 2 years ago. I was at a conference on Lutheran higher ed, and was there with our president, Stephanie Herseth Sandlin. And at the end of the conference, we were just brainstorming some ways that we can help expand the reach of this notion of education, because really college students are thinking about their own callings in the world, but all of us at every age and stage of life are thinking about the ways in which we are called and what we are called to, and that changes over time. And so the president and I and another one of our colleagues thought, could we do a podcast? And then it was a little over a year ago, I remember I met Pete on the sidewalk outside of the chapel in Augustana, and we probably had a 20-minute conversation on the sidewalk about this, because Pete was getting the studio up and running at the time, and I had this seed of an idea, and together, along with our colleague Katie McCullough, we're able to make it happen. And so really the goal of it and the heart of it is to tell stories of people who are connected to Augustana, and them sharing the ebb and flow of their life and how they are pulled and tugged to different calls, whether that's a call to be a student, a call to be a parent, a call to be a spouse, a call to work in a certain career. And that's the thrust of all 14 episodes of the podcast.
So here I want to say something about the power of podcasting, because I spent the weekend listening to your podcast in particular as you do this work about vocation. And then as soon as you started speaking in my ear, I'm like, oh, there she is. I mean, there's an intimacy that, you know, because we haven't met, that I kind of felt like I knew you. And then I heard your voice.
Yeah.
And there's something really kind of powerful about that audio connection.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear a little bit from Calling All Years Good. And this is, as you deal with this idea of what vocation is, you asked Billy Struffert, who is going to explain a little bit. And she works with a lot of students, kind of helping them figure out what's next for them. And she sort of began by what vocation is not.
Right. Maybe we should start by saying what vocation is not. What are some common misconceptions that people have about vocation?
Our vocation is so complex. It transcends our job. It includes so many other life roles, whether it's me being a daughter, me being a citizen. It's not isolated to work, but it is an important part, and that's my specialty on campus, is to help folks discern that aspect of their vocation.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think it's a single decision, that once you've named a major or career, whoop, I'm done. Check it off the list. Mm. It's more of an ongoing process throughout the lifespan. I think sometimes we also think there's the single perfect right path, and I'll know it when I have, again, that 100% satisfaction and success, when I think more often the heavy lifting is you're not choosing. I mean, you don't have a single definitive pathway. You're choosing between competing noble options. I think that we also think that calling our litmus test is, I'll know I found it when I'm happy all the time, that I'm 100% satisfied, 100% successful. And for me, when I look, there's so many vocation stories in the Bible. When I look at Jesus and his vocation, I see sometimes drudgery. I mean, he took the most mundane task of washing people's feet, and he made it a noble activity.
Happy all the time. Anybody happy all the time? Completely self-actualized, which I think, again, as this podcast walks through different stages of life, that's an early adulthood kind of thing, where maybe you have this thought that once you make this choice, you are going to be the rainbows are going to come out every day.
Right.
Those of us who are a little further along in life's journey realize mm-hmm. that that's not necessarily true, but that's an important message for those mm-hmm. young people. And here's a little bit more with Billie, and this is, I think, incredibly useful as well, where she talks about how she has these conversations with students who are really trying to make some pretty big career decisions.
But when it comes to career decision making, it's far more complex. So I'll give you an example. If you're choosing between school counseling and teacher, you're going to work in a school setting. You're going to have summers off. You're going to help students. So that's not where the choice is. The choice is between the difference. Would you, and this is where students know the game, would you rather? Mm-hmm. So we play the game, would you rather? Would you rather advance the cognitive development or advance the psychosocial development of a student? Because both those occupations are different in that regard. Would you rather work in a group setting since a teacher is surrounded by kids all the time or an individual setting? So by comparing and contrasting, then you better understand the compromise and what you're not choosing. It's so hard. Many of our students have never said no to anything.
Mm.
So to not choose something, there's because our students are so talented, it's hard
yes.
to not choose something. And you can help students better do that if you conceptualize what exactly they're losing mm-hmm. And moving away from, and also what they're moving towards. That's where the hope and optimism, because they can better say, here's what I'm gaining in that choice.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and today for International Podcasting Day, we're highlighting some of the South Dakota podcasters who are doing great work in the audio realm. And right now my guests are from Augustana University. Patrick Hicks is here with poetry from Studio 47. Peter Folliard, who's the director of orchestras and is sort of overseeing this Studio 47 at Augie and kind of coming up with this big vision. And then campus pastor Reverend Ann Rosendale. We were listening to her in conversation with Billie Struford about vocation. And I want to jump, Ann, to this next excerpt, which is really President Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, who is in middle life. Tell us a little bit why it was important to talk to her, and specifically you decided to talk to her about being a mother and having the career mm-hmm. that she has. Tell me about that choice.
Yeah, it was important to talk to Stephanie because she highlights for us what it is to juggle multiple vocations. And especially in middle adulthood, those of us who have a calling to be a spouse, perhaps, and a parent, and work in our careers, and are called to citizenship, to our community in various realms. It can be hard. We hold those things in tension all the time. And Stephanie, I think, is doing that well with insight and wisdom and grace. And so sometimes we see certain people in certain roles, and we think that is all there is to them.
Right.
But there's these pieces of our vocation that can be a little under the radar, a little more hidden. And so we wanted to talk to Stephanie specifically about her vocation as a parent, as a mother.
And we begin this excerpt from Calling All Years Good with Reverend Ann Rosendale with a little found audio here of Stephanie on the floor of the U.S. House introducing someone special.
And for what purpose does the gentle lady from South Dakota rise?
Mr. Speaker, it is with great joy that my husband, Congressman Max Sandlin, a former member of this distinguished body, and I introduce to you and to all of our colleagues the newest addition to our family, Zachary Lars Sandlin.
I remember sitting on the bed in my home in Brookings with my mom one afternoon, and she resolved herself to the fact that she might not be a grandmother. Oh, I'm going to start crying. Because I had shared with her that I just didn't know that that was going to be a life experience that I would have, and I wasn't entirely sure that I wanted it. Based on the fact that I had had this opportunity to serve South Dakota, that my political life and career was going well, that I was fulfilled and rewarded with that work, and I had not... I knew that the proverbial clock was ticking. But then when Max and I decided to start a family of our own, I remember my mom being so happy and saying, I would have been fine if you had decided not to have children, but I'm just so happy for you that this will be part of your life experience, to be a mother and to experience the joy that I've experienced in raising you and your brother. And to be on the House floor, I mean, that was my family, and I had really great relationships in Congress across the aisle. It was really special to be serving South Dakota at a time where then I was able to become pregnant and to have a child and to start raising him in both South Dakota and Washington, and these two extended families that were so caring and loving at the time. But I will say that my life changed in ways that I couldn't anticipate, even when I felt I could anticipate a lot of it and was prepared for a lot of it. And that struggle to find balance, which it just isn't the word that works for me anymore. So think of it as harmony, being true to yourself, being true to your work, finding ways to blend and find the positive ways of caring for your family, but that are also at times where you're also at work and you're fulfilling both your needs and wants related to your profession.
The voice of Stephanie Herseth Sandlin talking to Augustana campus pastor Ann Rosendale as part of her podcast, Calling All Years Good. And Ann, one of the things that you do so effectively in this, and I suppose it's because of you're bringing yourself to the interview, but there's emotion. You know, I was playing these over the weekend as I wanted to listen, and you know, I'm going to do my dishes or I'm going to sort my mail. No, I'm going to sit and listen 100% to these conversations because they're so immersive.
Yeah.
Is that just you being you?
Well, one of the things I said when we started doing these interviews, that it really felt like ministry. So it felt like conversations that I'm having on a daily basis with faculty or students, staff. I'm just doing it with a microphone in front of me. So, and people were vulnerable enough to bring their stories and generous enough to share their stories. And so I really think it's the stories that make this podcast so good.
Yeah.
People opening up and sharing.
And you take us places. I'm an Augie grad myself, and you take us into some of these spaces that, you know, for me, I kind of always wanted to go to the professor's house on campus with all the books, you know. And so here's another excerpt, and this is, tell us a little bit about Arlen.
Yeah, Arlen is a retired professor of chemistry at Augustana, and he is a gem. Yeah. He's always on campus still now in his 80s, has been retired for several years, but is deeply invested still in the Augustana community.
And this is something from talking to someone about vocation in the later years of life. And I, again, highly recommend people listen to the full conversation because he talks about his beloved wife.
Mm-hmm.
And but then you ask him this question near the end of your conversation, I think is really insightful.
Well, you talk a little bit about what it's like growing old. Okay, how old are you, Arlen?
I am 82.
82.
Yep. Perhaps not as old as I'll ever be, but as old as I ever have been. One thing about getting old, of course, is just a tendency to accumulate some medical problems.
I thought you were going to say accumulate books.
Well, that too. I have not hesitated to do that. And to read widely, actually.
Yeah, you really have. You have books on every topic.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you what the best and worst part of growing old is.
Oh, okay.
Is that a fair question?
Sure, of course.
What's the best part and the worst part?
Well, one could hope that one would keep learning and get, if it's possible, a little wisdom. That may be hoping for too much, but I think a bit comes.
Yeah.
I think the absolute worst would be if I got Alzheimer's. That, as far as I know, has not happened yet.
I think I have just one more question for you, Arlen.
Okay, yeah.
And that is, as you look back on the course of your life and all this wisdom you've accumulated.
Hopefully.
I wonder what advice you might give to people younger than you.
Oh.
Especially around vocation and the way that vocation changes over time. And just share a little bit of your wisdom.
I truly believe in places like Augustana. I think that there is a lot of wisdom that you can gather if you are attentive, if you're not just memorizing things as pass tests.
Oh, and that's the voice of Arlen Visti. Is that who says his last name?
Visti. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring Pete Folliard back in this conversation, because one thing I've noticed, and I think it's really evident there, that nobody in this studio now, and really nobody who's part of any of these podcasts, has forgotten that these come from Augustine. I mean, when you listen to Anne's work about vocation, it is so Augie that as an institution, that mission, that those value, everything is just, it just sort of breathes in and out Augustana.
That makes me so happy to hear. I mean, that was certainly a goal of ours, and it's something that, you know, I'm new to Augustana too. I've been here for, this is the beginning of my third year, and to be able to describe what makes Augustana special in a way to capture that is somehow tangible, that you can share away from actually just being there, but maybe that would attract you to come here and check it out and feel that.
And I think as we look at International Podcasting Day, for people who want to get into podcasting, and they're, you know, from a business or an institution, I think that's really key. Remember who you are. I mean, if you're an individual, remember your own values, but if you're doing this as a part, I just think it's really remarkable how Augie has done this, because there's so many different people doing the work. It's not all controlled by Pete Folliard, for example, but yet it all has this master narrative sort of organically or intuitively or intentionally.
It's amazing how it's taken on a life of its own. I think what I'm seeing out of the products that are coming out of Studio 47 are the talents of our faculty, of our staff, soon to be our... Well, no, you hear our students when you hear the string quartet album. So it's sharing all of the things that make Augustana great.
We are going to have more with these folks from Augustana as we talk about International Podcasting Day, but first we need to take a break. We'll be back on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're celebrating International Podcasting Day by looking at some South Dakota folks who are participating in podcasting and leveraging the power of podcasting. You can find the In the Moment podcast wherever you get your podcasts. There's a daily segments podcast where you get every story downloaded to your device. And then we have one that is sort of a best of the week, or at the end of the week before you go into your weekend, you can hear all the news and then all the arts conversations that we have. So check out the In the Moment podcast. On Thursday, we have Amy Jo Martin with us, and she's another South Dakota podcaster, this one from the Black Hills region. But right now in the studio, we have some folks from Augustana University. Pete Folliard is director of orchestras, and he's do you have a title when it comes to Studio 47?
Oh gosh, I don't know if I tend to take the role of producer. That title a lot. Always wanted to be one, so I'll
all
take
right.
it.
Producer and slash visionary Patrick Hicks, who is writer in residence and author and host and creator of poetry from Studio 47, which you hear every Friday on SDPB Radio here on In the Moment, and Pastor Ann Rosendale, whose podcast is called Calling All Years Good, and that is a podcast about vocation at different times in the life cycle. Fascinating stuff. So, Patrick Hicks, Poetry from Studio 47, which is probably the most familiar podcast to our listeners here because we've had this partnership where we played.
Yeah.
And I look forward to Fridays every week.
Me too.
You really created something special here.
Thank you.
Us a little bit about, we're going to hear from Brian Turner here in a minute. So tell us a little bit about Brian Turner as a poet. He's also going to be at the South Dakota Festival of Books.
Yeah.
Teaching a workshop for veteran writers. You've known him for a long time and have been a close colleague of his.
Yeah. I've known Brian for well over a decade now. And he fought in the Iraq War. And while he was in Baghdad, Balad, and Mosul, in order to help make sense of the war, he would go back to base at night and he'd use his red light flashlight, and he would actually write poems. And he didn't really share the poems with his fellow soldiers because he was a sergeant. He was the guy in charge, so he didn't think that was something he wanted to open up about. But while he was over there, he mailed all these poems back to the United States, and they ultimately came out in his first book, Hear Bullet. And then he wrote Phantom Noise, which was about coming back and figuring out what it meant to be Brian and not Sergeant Turner anymore. Mm. He's a remarkable poet.
And you as a poet yourself, and as all the poets that you've kind of worked with, do you see patterns in sort of who are the people who become poets? Because you can't, I mean, there's an insurance salesman, there's a soldier, there's parents, there's people, clearly professors and English majors and people like that. But there's such a wide variety of the people that you find.
Yeah.
But as you, there's a story that kind of must start revealing itself to you a little bit more as you dive deeper into these people's works.
Yeah, poets come from all these different occupations and trades, and you know, poetry has been with us for as long as we've been able to communicate orally. And I just see poetry as storytelling. So ultimately, I think it doesn't matter what your trade is or where you're from. You just care about story, and you like hearing stories and you like telling stories. So whenever I go about choosing a poet and a poem for Studio 47, I'm looking for that sort of cliched driveway moment. I know I've done my job properly if someone has arrived home and they're halfway through poetry from Studio 47, but they don't want to turn the radio off. Yeah. And if I can get that moment where they want to know how the poem ends, I feel like I've given them a little gift, a little story.
And you can see that here in the studios is, you know, there's a lot of activity going on during the show.
Yeah.
And there will be I've done some live things where we've played poetry from Studio 47, where you'll just sort of watch people around stop.
Oh.
Where they're walking and they'll stop, you know,
that's
stop
what I'm
typing.
Looking for. Yeah.
And just listen. We're going to play a full episode because these are usually in the 3 to 5 minute range. They're, you know, very listenable in their entirety.
Yeah.
Here is Patrick Hicks with poetry from Studio 47.
This is poetry from Studio 47. Welcome. Today's poet is Brian Turner. Turner was born on February 12, 1967, in Visalia, California. He grew up in Fresno. After receiving his BA and MA from Fresno State, he then earned a Master of Fine Arts from the University of Oregon. From there, he moved to Seoul, South Korea, where he taught English as a second language for a year. Following in family tradition, he decided to join the military, and between 1999 and 2000, he was deployed to Bosnia-Herzegovina. When the Iraq War began on March 20, 2003, Turner was deployed with the 3rd Striker Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Infantry Division. While stationed in Baghdad, Mosul, and Balad, he began to write poetry in order to make sense of the war he was experiencing. These poems, written at night by the use of a red flashlight, resulted in his first collection of poetry, Hear Bullet. His viewpoint of the Iraq War in this collection is told with a generosity of spirit for his enemies, and he never loses sight of their humanity. Turner ended up winning the Beatrice Hawley Award for Hear Bullet, and when he left the Army in 2005, he turned his attention to writing full-time. Turner has since written another collection of poetry, Phantom Noise, which was shortlisted for the prestigious T.S. Eliot Award in England, and he has won a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship in Poetry. Turner was also featured in the Academy Award-nominated documentary Operation Homecoming, Writing the Wartime Experience. His latest book is a memoir about his experiences in the Iraq War called My Life as a Foreign Country. He directs the MFA program at Sierra Nevada College, and he is married to the poet Elise Kuznets. Brian Turner's work is more than just about a soldier talking about his experiences. It involves questions about the wide sweep of history, why we are drawn to violence, and he clearly has a deep respect for Arabic culture. Today's poem is Jundi Ameriki. Here we have a poem in one long stanza. It takes place in a VA in Long Beach, California, and it involves a soldier who has bits of shrapnel and debris stuck in his body. A surgeon, Dr. Sasrata, is going about the business of removing this foreign material. It is weeping up through layers of the soldier's skin, much like how rocks work themselves up to the surface of a farmer's field. We come to find out that these bits of debris are in the soldier's body because of a suicide bomber, just as this American soldier, this Jundi Ameriki, as he would be known in Arabic, has literally absorbed parts of the war into his body, he must also learn how to absorb the emotional wounds that the war has given to him. And so, this is Jundi Ameriki by Brian Turner. At the VA hospital in Long Beach, California, Dr. Sasrata scores open a thin layer of skin to reveal an object traveling up through muscle. It is a kind of weeping the body does, expelling foreign material, sometimes years after injury. Dr. Sasrata lifts slivers of shrapnel, bits of coarse gravel, road debris, diamond points of glass, the minutiae of the story reconstructing a cold afternoon in Baghdad, November of 2005.
The body offers aged cloth from an abaya dyed in blood, shards of bone. And if he were to listen intently, he might hear the roughened larynx of this woman calling up through the long corridors of flesh, saying Allah Akbar before releasing her body's weapon, her dark and lasting gift for this Jundi Ameriki, who carries fragments of the war inscribed in scar tissue, a deep, intractable pain, the dull grief of it the body must learn to absorb.
Poetry from Studio 47 is hosted and curated by Patrick Hicks. All poems used with permission, recorded live to tape at Augustana University, and produced by Peter Folliard. Thank you for listening.
And you are listening to In the Moment today as we look at International Podcasting Day. We have some folks from Augustana University talking about Studio 47, Patrick Hicks, who you just heard, and Pete Folliard, who you just heard, and Rosendale is also with us talking about the big picture of what Augie is doing for podcasting as we kind of cross the state today, hearing these different voices. You know, Patrick, I'm so glad we got to listen to Brian Turner ahead of the Festival of Books, for one thing.
Me too.
But it really gets to this idea when people think of poetry, sometimes they think of a niche audience. And the poets that you're finding really blow that wide open.
Yeah.
To, poetry is not just for poets. This is for all of us. This is the story all of us needed to hear about that moment.
I think so, yeah. I think if you say the word poetry to people, maybe their eyes kind of glaze over and they don't see it as a necessary thing. But I reject that. You know, we bring out poetry in the most important points of our life, you know, weddings, funerals, graduation. And to me, it's if people don't turn to poetry and don't kind of understand what it can be, that they're losing this sort of really amazing form of storytelling. I often think poetry is the perfect form for our fast-paced life because it only takes a couple minutes to read a poem, but that'll nest in your head maybe for a couple hours.
Mm. And you can hear poetry from Studio 47 every Friday on In the Moment. Pete Folliard, you mentioned earlier in our conversation students being involved in podcasting through Augustana. We're going to play some music here in just a minute, but tell us a little bit about the Augie String Quartet and how they kind of got pulled into this. What kind of audio recording can we do now? What's next?
Oh, my gosh. This is really exciting. I'm really excited for all the listeners to be able to hear the amazing talent that's happening in Augustana music. The quartet is made up of two music majors and two non-music majors, which is highlighting the liberal arts excellence that exists at Augustana. You know, when my first year here, the baseball team won a national championship, and last year the women's softball team won a national championship. And heck, I want to win a national championship for music, whatever that is. And we need to attract the highest level student that we can, and it's difficult in a state where we're 4 or 5 hours away from Rapid City has a wonderful Suzuki program and they're growing excellent string musicians there. But I can't get there quickly, but I can send this recording right over to those outstanding directors there and say, hey, would you share this with your students? And the students can then envision themselves, wait a second, I could be doing this? Because they absolutely can be. So it's an opportunity to build a legacy here of what we are doing and what can be done.
We are going to put some links up to these podcasts on our website after the program at listen.sdpb.org. But Pete, where is the best way if people are just looking for it before, you know, they want it right now? Where can they find Augie podcasts quickly?
So the easiest way to find all of our Augie podcasts is augie.edu/podcasts. That's the fastest way to get to all of those products. And beyond just accessing those, you can also book a recording session there at Augustana.
Yeah. All right. If you have a podcast and we didn't hear from you today, it's not too late. Send us an email inthemoment@sdpb.org, and maybe we'll feature your podcast on a future program here on In the Moment. We're going to take a break. We'll talk geography after that break. But as we leave you, here is a recording from the Augustana String Quartet, me and my cello, happy together.